RadioMD. RadioMD.com. It's time to change your habits and start living a healthy, happy, and fulfilling life. Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. We all know that proper nutrition is so important to our health. But did you know that proper nutrition is more than just about counting calories? Nutrition can affect your mood, hormonal balance, and brain chemistry. People working through an addiction need to understand that proper meal planning is one of the most important parts of recovery. David Wyss is a leading voice in the link between nutrition and addiction recovery. He's here today to help us talk about how nutrition could help or hurt our recovery and what we need to know about how food and nutrition affects our mood, our energy levels, and our motivation. David, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us today.
Hi, Erica. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm just so honored to have you on because I've known you for a long time and I've seen how your passion has just ignited like a whole new wave of understanding nutrition, especially in the recovery world. So I'm excited to talk to you about, you know, what is the importance of nutrition and why do we have to start looking at it like beyond calories?
It's such an important topic and thank you again for having me. You know, most people think about nutrition from somewhat of a shallow perspective. Most people think fitness and people think calories and think weight loss and not often enough do people think about food as it links to our brains and our moods and our behaviors and our thought life. And you know, if I'm completely honest, I got into nutrition by way of fitness. For many years I was a trainer before I went to graduate school, and I was attracted to nutrition for some of those reasons. And when I got into the field, I realized there's a whole nother world behind food that people don't think about. And so I have dedicated my career to spreading the message of nutrition as it affects mental health. And this is so important for drug addicts in early recovery. I'm able to educate a lot of different clients and treatment centers about nutrition, and most of them expect me to come in there and talk about calories and portion sizes. And then I come in and try to talk about nutrition in a way that's completely different than any of them have ever heard before, and oftentimes they perk up and get interested.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, your approach is the right approach because it has to be a sustainable lifestyle change, you know? It's not just a short term, and that's what, like, fad diets do, and that's what, like, portion control, you know, kind of plans have. So, do you believe in, like, just helping them create a routine in their long term?
Yes, that's the key. Sustainable is the key word that I always use. You know, we live in a world where people learn to navigate the food supply based on external cues, right? So this would be a calorie meal plan or a dietitian or perhaps an app. Now people are using apps to guide them mm-hmm. how to eat. That's useful in the beginning. It's very important for some people who have a dysfunctional relationship to food to utilize external cues, but at some point we want to empower patients and clients to learn how to trust some of their internal cues around food, how to check in with their hunger and fullness, how to make food decisions that are not based on mathematical equations.
Yeah, and emotionally too. I'm curious because when I work with clients, their mood is so affected and their emotional well-being by, you know, what they are eating. If they have breakfast in the morning, I always encourage my clients to have breakfast and understand that they need to start their day off by fueling their body. How do you feel about implementing that no matter what?
Yeah, one of the most important things that I teach is eating within 30 minutes from waking up, and then eating every 2.5 to 4.5 hours. So creating consistency around food oftentimes can create consistency in other areas of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Most people eat most of their food in the evening because food has somewhat of a medicinal effect, right? It's very calming. Carbohydrates in mm-hmm. the evening have a serotonin effect, help people sleep better. Most people eat a significant amount of their energy in the second half of the day and wake up not being hungry and, you know, trend towards caffeine, nicotine, light breakfast in the morning. And I tell people that human beings are highly adaptive. If we're not used to eating in the morning, our hunger hormone, ghrelin, will not produce. We will learn that we're not going to have hunger cues in the morning. So if you want to learn how to start eating in the morning, you just got to start eating in the morning. And eventually, after a couple of weeks, people will start to get hunger in the morning. So as humans, we're highly adaptive. We can rewire our brains and rewire our hormones in a way to where we expect food at certain times, and we can really tap into this communication network that we have between our head, our gut, and our endocrine system.
Yeah, I love that you're talking about. Obviously, I'm a big proponent and a believer in rewiring and creating new pathways. And I know that, you know, you work with people in recovery at treatment centers. And I think this information is for anyone and everyone out there. It doesn't even have to pertain to people, fighting their way out of an addiction. But how do we get other people to understand also that, you know, our hormones and our genes and everything that we're made of really does begin to adapt depending on what we put in our body, how we treat our body, how we, sleep at night. I mean, do you think people are kind of getting this and educating themselves more and more, or is it something that not a lot of people are onto yet?
I think slowly but surely we're learning about how processed food affects the brain and food preferences. I mm-hmm. think that food addiction research really started around 2007 and has really been a big deal in the last 9 or 10 years. It's a very controversial topic. What we're seeing is that the food industry is using, laboratories, some of the same laboratories that the tobacco companies use to generate highly addictive products. They are engineering food to be the most rewarding possible to the human brain. So, for example, when they roll out a new sweetened beverage, they're able mm-hmm. to calculate the amount of sugar to the milligram to where if you put a little bit more, it's too sweet. So they need to figure out the precise amount of sweetness. This is known as the bliss point. Hmm. So the food industry is able, they have so much money and so much influence, they're able to create food that has the perfect combinations of sugar, salt, fat, refined grains, artificial sweeteners, sometimes even caffeine, to really light up the pleasure centers in the brain. Now, most people think about food addiction and they think about obesity. And one of the things that I try to educate people on is this idea that not food addiction isn't necessarily always an issue of overweight obesity. A lot of times it boils down to the development of food preferences, right? So if someone grows mm-hmm. up eating highly sweetened foods, eating processed snack foods, drinking sweetened beverages, by the time a lot of people get to adulthood, they no longer like the taste of plain food. People don't like vegetables anymore. People don't like bread that doesn't have sugar in it. And mm-hmm. food over the course of a lifetime has the potential to create really strong preferences for certain things and will cause people to avoid foods that don't meet that brain chemistry criteria. I saw this when I was in training. I was in an outpatient clinic doing diabetes counseling, and I saw people that essentially had crossed into advanced stages of diabetes where they were facing amputation of their limbs from such high blood glucose. The message to them was, if you can't change the way that you eat, essentially, we might have to amputate a limb. And I found that a lot of people couldn't change the way that they eat, even in the face of those kind of consequences. And it reminded me the same thing of drug addiction, of heroin addiction.
Right, exactly. Well, David, thank you so much. This is such an important conversation and highlighting, why nutrition is so important on so many levels, mind, body, spirit. So I'm just going to give everyone your website. It's nutritionandrecovery.com. That's where they could find you, right? Thank you. Okay, good. Thank you. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thanks and stay well.